Bill O'Reilly's new book, Killing Jesus, is coming out in September. In a recent Fox News segment, he indicated the reason Jesus was crucified was not because he had antagonized the money-changing Pharisees. Rather, it was the Romans who masterminded and accomplished the crucifixion. What was their basic beef with Jesus? It was about taxes, O'Reilly says. O'Reilly has not revealed how Jesus could have so offended the Romans over the issue of taxes, especially when Jesus instructed the people to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Yet O'Reilly is perfectly clear that as far as he is concerned, the Jewish leaders and multitude who cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him," are absolved of the guilt he lays at the feet of big government of that day, the Romans. O'Reilly's thesis, not surprisingly, has had instant appeal to veteran Jewish Christian basher CNN President Jeff Zucker. Zucker produced the primetime sitcom The Book of Daniel, and while president of NBC, lavishly promoted the blasphemous Da Vinci Code. Zucker wants to make a blockbuster movie out of O'Reilly's book and bid $2.5 million for movie rights. Thus, like the money changers in the temple, profiting off religion, these manipulators are attempting to make huge profits merchandising blatant, even blasphemous falsehood about Jesus' death. The purpose of this article is to forewarn and prepare everyone before September with biblical documentation against O'Reilly's book. It is to establish a simple, incontrovertible fact. It was the Jewish leaders and the Jews who followed them who bear overwhelming responsibility for the crucifixion of Christ. To begin, we should be aware that most Christians already accommodate O'Reilly and the Jews by saying, "We all crucified Christ by the act of sinning." Such junk theology was virtually unheard of before the 1970s, when Billy Graham first promoted it. It is neither biblical nor logical. The Bible does teach that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. It also states that those who have once believed and yet apostatized again crucify the Son of God, Hebrews 6:6. Yet Scripture does not teach that through some metaphysical alchemy we all participate in the crucifixion. The crucifixion was a unique historical event nearly 2,000 years ago, when Christ was rejected by his own, the Jewish people. Though Pilate was badgered into authorizing it, and a handful of Roman soldiers drove the nails, the force behind the crucifixion was entirely Jewish. The New Testament assertion of the Jewishness of the crucifixion is central to the historical prophecies and claims which ground the Scripture. Without such a reference point, there is little significance in Christ's return someday to rescue and absolve a repentant Jewish remnant from the stigma of so heinous a national sin. This may explain why the New Testament repeats its charge of Jewish guilt in about 40 different passages. Nothing could be clearer than that long before the crucifixion, the Pharisaic leaders were wanting to kill Jesus and maneuvering toward that end. Fairly soon in Jesus' ministry, we are told the Pharisees, quote, planned together to kill him, John 11:47-53. Their goal was to have him, quote, delivered to the chief priest and condemned to death, Mark 10:33. Quote, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and to kill him, Matthew 26:4. This was, quote, to obtain a false testimony against Jesus in order that they might put him to death, Matthew 26:59. Because their intention was obvious, Jesus asked them, quote, why do you seek to kill me? John 7:19. It was obvious also to the people who asked, quote, is not this the man they are seeking to kill? John 7:25. Accordingly, the, quote, chief priests and elders took counsel against Jesus to put him to death, and, quote, delivered him to Pilate, Matthew 27:1-2. At this point, we have the first mention of a Roman in this conspiracy. Yet Pilate confirms that the animus and energy toward Christ's murder is coming entirely from the Jewish leaders. Quote, Pilate knew that because of envy they had delivered him up. Matthew 27:18. Quote, the chief priests and scribes were seeking how they might put him to death. Matthew 26:15. And were, quote, seeking to destroy him. Mark 11:18. As a result, Pilate, himself a manipulator, asked them, quote, what are you willing to give to me to deliver him up to you? End quote. The, quote, chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes to ask for Barabbas and put Jesus to death. Matthew 27:20. Quote, and they shouted, crucify him, and, quote, he ought to die. Matthew 27:22-23. Pilate, it says, quote, delivered Jesus to their will. Matthew 27:26. After Pilate agreed to the demand of the leaders and people that Christ be killed, the Jews acknowledged their responsibility. Quote, his blood be upon us and upon our children. Matthew 27:25. Jesus confirmed to Pilate that the sin of the Jewish leaders was greater than that of Pilate in buckling to Jewish pressure. Jesus said, quote, for this reason, he who delivered me up to you has the greater sin. John 19:11. Jesus was affirming, quote, how the chief priests and rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. Luke 24:20. This brings us to testimony that the Jews killed Christ by the apostles in the book of Acts. In Peter's speech to the Jewish multitude at Pentecost, he lays blame upon them for the death of Jesus, whom, quote, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Acts 2:23. Jesus, quote, whom ye have crucified. Acts 2:36. Again in Acts 3:14-15, he tells the Jews, quote, but ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life. Peter tells the high priests and rulers that they are guilty for the spilling of the blood, quote, of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified. Acts 4:40. Later, he again tells the Pharisees, quote, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Acts 5:30. Just before being stoned to death by the Jews, Stephen told them that they have been Christ's, quote, betrayers and murderers. Acts 7:52. A converted Jew, Paul, testified of his Pharisaic brethren that, quote, though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain, Acts 13:28, and that the Jews, quote, have both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, 1 Thessalonians 2:14-16. In recent decades, some Jewish defense groups, such as the Anti-Defamation League, have boldly claimed that there is no evidence that Jews masterminded the crucifixion. Instead, they say that the so-called blood charge laid upon the Jews is a vicious anti-Semitic lie. It is so vicious, ADL claims, that the New Testament, perpetuator of this lie throughout history, is very largely responsible for persecution of Jews, including the alleged Holocaust during World War II. As a result, ADL has made it a hate crime in the dozens of countries which its hate laws rule to publicly assert the New Testament claim that the Jews killed Christ. In addition, ADL's U.S. Department of Global Antisemitism in the U.S. State Department considers blaming Jews for the crucifixion to constitute the hate crime of antisemitism. Yet the Talmud, highest religious and ethical authority for modern observant Jews, is very frank that the Jewish leaders had Christ executed. It is proud of them for doing it. In my article entitled "Are Jews Still Guilty for the Crucifixion?" at truthtellers.org, I thoroughly document this boast. To conclude, in the O'Reilly Fox News segment I referenced at the beginning, O'Reilly says the claim that the Pharisee money changers were out to get Jesus and killed him is wrong. Yet as I have documented, this is the overwhelming opinion of the New Testament. In contrast, O'Reilly says the evidence is that Christ offended the Romans over taxes, and it was they who masterminded his execution. Where's the evidence? Apart from pressure upon a corrupt Roman magistrate by the Jews and Pilate's order to a few obedient soldiers, there is no mention in the New Testament of any other Roman involvement. Certainly, no record of a Roman conspiracy spanning 3 years. There are two conspirators against truth, however, massively indicted by O'Reilly's book. O'Reilly himself, who is revealing himself as the lowest level of charlatan and opportunist. Also, Jeff Zucker, he, like O'Reilly, is a purveyor of big lies. But, unlike O'Reilly, he at least is honest enough not to deny that he is a Christ-hating Jew, out to take opportunity to destroy the name and reputation of Jesus. If O'Reilly distorts biblical truth to this degree, for financial gain and to please the Jews, how can Christian conservatives trust him to tell anything resembling the truth concerning political realities? These include controversial issues. Zionist Jews expect media favoritism concerning, such as control of Wall Street, Congress, and big media, not to mention Israel's misbehavior in the already confusing Middle East. It's time to abandon any vestiges of confidence in Bill O'Reilly as a credible conservative apologist and leader. Any thoughts on that?
That's an excellent list of verses supporting what Scripture says about the Jews.
It was very academic. I mean, it was very measured and solid. and I really appreciated that. I mean, he like you pointed out, he is just flatly disregarding the eyewitness records written in the Gospels that were written, you know, within a very short period after the death of Christ by people who were there. So it's pretty shocking that he's now lifting himself up as an authority on this topic.
Yeah. How seriously is he taken in the conservative right?
Pretty seriously.
Very seriously.
That's astonishing. I was talking to an elderly man who is a tremendous fan of Bill O'Reilly's, and I said, he's not giving you the whole truth. If he doesn't give you truth about Jewish control in Israel and so on, he's not giving you the whole truth. And it couldn't faze him. He was fascinated. He was mesmerized by the charm, the wit, the humor, and as far as he was concerned, Bill O'Reilly and Fox News were his credible, consistent source of political reality. Someone mentioned, I think even today, that Fox News is kind of eclipsing some other right-wing sources of information. Is that true?
Well, yeah, Fox News is like the number one.
Mainstream. Some of the conversations we've had with some of our creation friends, it sounds like they get their news from Fox and the conservative organizations, and then they say what we say is the liberal propaganda in the regular news.
Yes.
So,
because Fox News does seem to provide an alternative to CNN, MSNBC, you know, the virulent pro-abortion, fiscally liberal, socialist policies. So people like that about it. Mm-hmm. So then they want to go to that because it does also have this glamorous respectability to it. Mm-hmm. And
the magnitude of deception in this book is beyond anything I've ever seen.
That, and he claims to be a Catholic too. Yeah.
That he can manufacture. It shows what he'll do for $2.5 million, mm-hmm. is to sell his soul, his eternal soul, in promulgating a blatant lie, and letting the Jews off the hook.
Well, I think this article is really good because it also addresses the Christian perspective, the evangelicals. I've spoken with evangelicals who believe that Jesus let the Jews take him. That was part of God's plan, that the Jews killed him. So the Jews really aren't at fault. You know, obviously they know that it was the Pharisees who arrested him, but they weren't evil because they were just doing what God wanted them to do. And having an understanding like this for evangelicals that believe that maybe Israel isn't doing what they should be, you know, they're kind of being extreme with Palestine, but ultimately they're not that bad.
They're making it possible for the Gentiles to be engrafted in.
Yeah. Yeah, that they're part of, you know, God's plan. This is a really clear article because you laid out so nicely that they were responsible. And that really changes things for someone who doesn't want to believe that. If you have these irrefutable, I mean, you can't refute all of the documentation. That's not just biblical, but historical, too.
Well, according to that reason, since he allowed Satan to rebel, and he even needed Satan to complete the our potentiality to choose between right and wrong, then Satan also gets off the hook.
Sin gets let off the hook all the time. Evangelical.
That's a really good point.
I was actually rereading that very list this morning. I compiled that list and I have it here. And in this list, I have a little article clip out of the 2005 creation by Answers in Genesis. And it has a little statement here by Dr. Jonathan Safarki, who is a Jew, but he's a very, very prominent creationist, AEG. And the title is Who Killed Jesus? A Jew's Perspective. In creation, number 23, Dr. Sarfati pointed out that there are no grounds for anti-Semitism in the New Testament and that it would be absurd to single out the Jews as Christ killers. In response, some readers have pointed to some clear New Testament statements of Jewish responsibility, but Dr. Sarfati had said, he kind of backtracks now, it was not just the Jews' fault. That is, Jews are responsible, but not only Jews. According to the whole New Testament, these are the ones responsible for Jesus' death. And then he lists the Jews, with the help of a wicked man, they put him to death by nailing him on the cross. And then the Gentiles, he will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. And then our sins, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And then the whole world sins. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Then he lists also Jesus himself, as if he were suicidal. I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And then he blames God the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So they conclude and say, so no one has any grounds for persecuting Jews or anyone else over their role in Jesus' death.
So the creationist movement is now under the tender, loving care of Jews.
Well, I consider, you know, and we see this in so many of the movements that we find our circle in, and I call them fifth columnists because they're plants, and you don't dare criticize Dr. Sarfati as a Jew. Because of his influence in the organization. And there are many other organizations where they have these plants that forbid you from discussing this because there are Jews involved in the organization.
Yeah.
So I think it's, I mean, as innocent as they might be, it's definitely an agenda.
I'm going to make it that if you single out the Jews, you're persecuting them.
Yeah, it's anti-Semitism.
There's no reason to persecute the Jews over this. Like, if you know the truth, then you're going to start persecuting Jews.
Mm-hmm. Well, they act as if just believing that is persecution in itself. That's part of turning our thoughts into crimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm planning on sending this article to quite a number of conservative organizations. I sent one of our last articles, in fact, my very last article, I sent to some conservative organizations, and I got a resounding commendation from one, a nationally known Christian conservative leader. I can't give his name, but he told me it was a great article. And I think I'm going to start sending my articles to conservative leaders. Let them know what we're doing at Truth Tellers, and that we provide some very viable alternatives to the dilemma we're in as a nation and as a church.
I would think many would be very, very interested, but because of fear of the Jews, they would keep a low profile. But I would think they'd be fascinated by your perspective.
Well, I will send this to Fox News. I will send it to Bill O'Reilly.
Sure.
I'll send it out. I noticed that just a couple of days, there was only one entry on Google concerning this claim by O'Reilly that taxes were the cause of the crucifixion. Now the whole page is full of articles about it. So it is controversial, and it'll be wonderful to just get it out tomorrow morning, get it out there, redeeming salt and light, redeeming our time. You see the incredible brazenness of man, and especially of the media propagandists of our time, just to go right into truth and blasphemously deny it and conjecture falsehood right in the face of undeniable truth. It astonishes me. Anyway, we are going to as boldly face into this lie as it shapes up towards September, and send this article out again if necessary two or three times, just to remind everybody of what the Bible really teaches. The problem is today that the church, the evangelical church, is so so unclear on this whole issue. It is everywhere proclaimed, as I said, through the influence of Billy Graham very largely, that we are all guilty for the death of Christ, and it's anti-Semitic to say hold the Jews accountable. But my oh my, what a list of scriptures we've been through. Overwhelming truth, overwhelming emphasis that cannot be controverted. And it's not mean-spirited, it is just simply reality. The three-year vendetta and strategy and maneuvering by the Pharisees to finally get Christ. Judas Iscariot made it possible by, as an insider, turning him over to the enemy.
You know, these statements by the apostles, they were actually made in the age of grace. And nowadays we have the concept that the Jews in the age of grace have their own salvation in a sense. God will deal with them on a separate way than he deals with you and I. But here, after Christ rose and after Pentecost, here you have the apostles, Peter and Paul, and making these statements. This technically is the age of grace. They were reproving and
holding them responsible
in a period when supposedly the Jews now were under the apple of God's eyes and couldn't be criticized up to now.
Well, it's been a 2,000-year struggle for the Jews to get out from the so-called blood charge, the accusation founded in Scripture that they masterminded the crucifixion of Christ. And tremendous, overwhelming Jewish media power now makes it possible for them to pull it off, to proclaim the big lie and just simply overwhelm us in literature, in video, in big three TV networks, etc., with the big lie and blatant falsehood. And nevertheless, it's very important that we continue to sow these seeds of truth. And speaking of Fox News, I remember a number of years ago when I was fighting the hate bill in the Senate, and Senator Edward Kennedy, this is too complicated to summarize now, but Senator Edward Kennedy was threatening, since he was the one who had introduced the hate bill, to stand up on the floor of the Senate and call for a vote on it, and he would have the necessary votes. Anyway, someone at Fox News, her name was Megan something. You may know her as one of the anchors at Fox News.
Kelly.
What?
Megan Kelly.
Megan Kelly. Megan Kelly got a hold of my article, exposing exactly what Kennedy was doing, and there was an avalanche as a result of her segment on what Kennedy was doing, and she browbeat him for in part of doing this, he was keeping the Children's Safety Act from being passed, which protected children from pedophiles, and she blasted him, and immediately he got 12,000 calls telling him to back off and let the not pass the hate bill and let the Children's Safety Act pass. Now there's an example. We may think of these big networks as so far above us that it's useless to contact them with truth. But that was my fourth or fifth success in defeating the federal hate bill when Kennedy felt he had it in the bag. So we'll continue to send out truth and emails and anything we can do to keep the truth alive, because this truth that percolates up from the grassroots does have an effect. That's why I recommended in my latest article that we get in touch with the Attorney General. Have you all read my latest article on why the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, should be indicted as a hate criminal for stimulating this violent attack on the Family Research Council by Floyd Corkins? They Yeah, let's read the latest article. The phone number's there for the U.S. Justice Department. It'll take you 30 seconds to call them and demand that the SPLC be indicted for a hate crime according to Title 18, Section 2A of the Civil Rights Act, which says that if some organization whips up hatred or animosity against another group, and that results in enticing some unstable soul to commit a hate crime, then those who have incited a hate crime through their harsh words will have to bear the same punishment and stand the same trial as the active offender. And believe me, ADL, SPLC would love to get a Christian conservative making harsh words and then causing a so-called terrorist attack, a violent hate crime. And if they did that, they'd not only demand that Christian pastor or talk show host or broadcaster go to jail for 30 years, but they would also probably demand federal legislation further marginalizing the religious right as a so-called source of domestic terrorism. And so we have to be assertive. And this is war. These evil Jewish attack groups are out to take us down. And there are lots of people, even Christians, would say, well, we must turn the other cheek. Well, if somebody wants to apologize and really change, then we will be glad to forgive them. But if they are out to put us in prison, like they did the 16 Amish last week, that's very serious business, and we are obligated as Christian activists and defenders of truth to do everything we can to slow down these criminal anti-Christian Jewish attack groups. And that means demanding from the Attorney General, making as much fuss as we can to point the spotlight upon SPLC as a hate criminal organization. Okay, thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you for standing up for the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Well, my. It's inconceivable that people wouldn't stand up for the Bible in a situation like this.
I think the church just thinks that it's not that significant of a point, you know, because they do make that point all the time. We all put Jesus on the cross. Mm-hmm. So this is just such a small issue. Mm-hmm. Because we all know that the Jews today are our brothers in religion, and mm-hmm. are really like aunts and uncles in religion. There's no animosity anymore, so mm-hmm. why should we care?
And it's our fault that he was up there anyway,
right.
So
yeah.
Take the walk out of your own eye.
right, exactly.
I was just reading in Thessalonians where Paul says that because of their lack of love of truth, God will send a strong delusion to the people.
Yep.
And this is such an obvious issue of truth, and it's no wonder that there's a delusion going on.
Well, evidently people like Jeff Zucker and O'Reilly are canny enough, savvy enough about how far gone the evangelical Christians are, that they have a sixth sense of what they can get away with. Mm-hmm. And I remember years ago, maybe even 15 or 20 years ago, when the Jewish media was really beginning to ramp up on the legitimacy of homosexuality and promote that big time. And I said, those Jews, they're making the biggest mistake. If there's one thing the evangelicals are not going to back down on, it's homosexuality.
Okay.
Was I right or was I wrong? and here are the onus, the blame, the biblically documented blame for the crucifixion is now being passed off on the Romans. And instead of anti-Semitism, we have anti-Romanism.
Right.
Let the Romans take the rap. Let us Gentiles take the rap and let the Jews go free.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what Zucker would like to do, make a big blockbuster movie as big as The Passion of Christ and give complete freedom and absolving the Jews of every vestige of blame. So the world, already confused about all this, will walk out of the theaters blaming the Romans. Audacity, unbelievable audacity. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer.
Lord, thank you for this good Bible study and this review of these very, very important verses in Scripture. We understand that we must love truth, as hard as it may be, as unpopular as it may be. And we see how there is a great delusion out there among evangelicals concerning Israel and the Jews. And we, of course, Lord, are very, very concerned for the Jews, and we know that the best thing for them is godly reproof, and that's exactly what Teddy's giving them. There is no animosity or hatred. It's the truth. They will be respected because of that. We just trust for you to continue to guide us and keep us on the straight and narrow in a time where it's going to become more and more uncertain, perhaps. We are very well aware of the power of intercession, though, to delay times, and we will continue to intercede and keep us on the front lines. We pray for Teddy to uphold him, give him the rest that he needs to be able to do what he's doing. May we all carry the baggage necessary to keep him in the forefront. Love you very much.